Crossroad Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Neither. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Neivert.
In Romans chapter 16, verse 19, Paul said to the church at Rome, "For your obedience is come abroad unto all men." Your obedience to the gospel, what a commendation. And he goes on to say, "I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you." This is what I want for you, he says to this church at Rome, these people that he loved. "I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil." I've entitled this message, "Wisdom Concerning Good and Evil." Now, in the context of this passage of Scripture, Paul is speaking of discernment. He's closing this epistle, and he says in verse 17 of this chapter, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them," watch out and mark them in your mind, "mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." Now, it takes some discernment and some spiritual maturity to be able to discern when something is contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. Spiritual maturity is always manifest with a sensitive ear. You hear the difference between law and grace. You hear the difference between faith and works. You've got some discernment. Now, I have seen where people who were believers seem to lose their ear. As a matter of fact, the writer to the Hebrews says to the Hebrews, "You've become dull in hearing. You can't hear what you should be able to hear." And this happens when someone leaves their first love, or they become enwrapped with the Laodicean spirit, lukewarm, thinking everything's okay when it's not, saying, "I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." And the Lord said, "When you don't know that you're wretched and poor and miserable and naked and blind." Now, when that takes place, and it can happen to anybody, it can happen to me apart from the grace of God, it will happen to me apart from the grace of God. But when that takes place, you lose your discernment and you can't really discern the difference between good and evil. That's what the writer to the Hebrews said when he said, "You become dull of hearing. You don't have your senses exercised to know the difference between good and evil." Good and evil. There is such a thing. And true wisdom discerns the difference between good and evil. Now, the natural man, and by natural man, I mean the way you and I are born into this world. We're born with a fallen, sinful nature. And the natural man, the one who has not been born of the Spirit, the one who has not been born from above, really doesn't know what's truly good and doesn't really know what's truly evil. I think the best illustration of this would be the rich young ruler. Now, the rich young ruler was a fine young man. He was a moral man. He was a good man, humanly speaking. And he comes running to the Lord. And he said, "Good Master." Now, he only believed Christ was a man, but he thought he was a good man. "Good Master." He didn't know this was the Son of God. "Good Master, what good thing shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he is met with a rebuke from the Lord. The Lord said, "Why are you calling me good? There's none good but one only, that is God." Now why did the Lord rebuke this man for calling him good? Because the Lord knew he was coming to him only as a man. A good man, no doubt, but a man. And the Lord said, there's only one who's good, and no man is good. There's only one who is good. That is God. Now, just this man thinking that he could do good in the first place tells us how ignorant he was of true goodness. What good thing shall I do to inherit eternal life? If you knew anything about yourself, rich young ruler, you wouldn't say something like that. You would know that you would know with Paul that I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. But this man was completely ignorant of that. He had no understanding of this thing of what is good. Now, the world would have called this a good man, a moral man, a righteous man, but he was blinded by sin. And the Lord confronts him with that. Why are you calling me good? You obviously don't know anything about goodness. There's only one who's good. That is God. Now, we read in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, "Woe to them that call evil good, and that call good evil." Now, generally speaking, when men use this passage of Scripture, they'll use it as a soapbox and a platform to condemn people for doing things that they do not agree with. I've heard people use this Scripture with regard to the Supreme Court, how that they call good evil and evil good, why they allow things like abortion and gay marriages and so on. And now, understand, I don't agree with abortion. I don't agree with gay marriages. But I'm not going to get on a soapbox about that because I don't agree with myself. I'm a sinner, just like everybody else is. I can't look down my nose in moral superiority at anybody. And as far as that goes, religious people like to find a platform. They like to find a sin that they think they don't commit. I don't commit that sin. I'm not a homosexual, and therefore they'll attack homosexuals. I'm against that. Listen, the Lord said in Matthew chapter 11, "Woe to you, Capernaum." They did not repent of their thoughts when he preached the gospel to them. They didn't repent of all their wrong thoughts. He said it's going to be more tolerable for Sodom. What is Sodom known for? Homosexuality. They're going to have it better on judgment day than you will who've heard the truth and rejected it. Now, men like to use this as a soapbox, like I said, woe to them that call good evil and evil good. But here's what the natural man does. He calls the gospel of grace evil. Why? If I believe that salvation has absolutely nothing to do with works in any way, to any degree, if I believe that, why'd sin all I want to? That kind of teaching is evil. And then they'll call that which is evil salvation by works, salvation dependent upon what you do. They'll say, that's good. That will promote good things. The Lord says, woe to them that call evil good and that call good evil. Now, what is good? I want to have some wisdom in this thing of goodness. What is good? Well, the Lord's already told us, God is good. Oh, I want to have some wisdom with regard to this. God is good. The Lord said there's none good but one only, that is God. There's none of Adam's fallen race that's good. There's not a just man alive that sinneth not and doeth good. There's none that doeth good, no, not one, the Scripture says. God only is good. He's originally good. He's essentially good. He's infinitely good. He's immutably good. And He's eternally good. He's always been good and He always will be good. He is the highest good. And His goodness refers to the perfections of His nature. Now, you take any attribute of God. Let's talk about His sovereignty. What does sovereign mean? If you're sovereign, that means no one controls you. That means you're in absolute control. Now, there's only one sovereign, and that is God. He controls everybody and everything, and His will is always done. Right now, you're in His hands. I'm in His hands. And His will is always done. Now, that is good, because God is good. Whatever He does is good. His sovereign will, His sovereign purpose, it's all good because He is good. When we talk about God's justice, He said, I'll by no means clear the guilty. Justice and judgment are the habitation of Thy throne. When we talk about God's absolute justice, how He will punish all sin, that's good because God is good. Well, when we talk about God's wrath, it's a good wrath because it's His wrath. It's right. It's just. What about His mercy? Oh, what goodness. His mercy, His love, His grace, His free favor. Whatever attribute we talk about concerning the character of God, if we talk about His immutability, the fact that He cannot change, that's good. When we talk about His power, He's all-powerful. Whatever He wills, He has the power to bring to pass. But it's a good power. I've heard that statement, power corrupts and absolute power will corrupt absolutely. No, it won't. God has absolute power and He's perfectly holy and perfectly pure. He's good. Every attribute of God is good. And everything that emanates from God or comes from God is good. His decrees that He made before time began. You know, everything that happens in time, He purposed in eternity. And it's all good. His creation. What was it He said after He created the heavens and the earth? And He looked and behold, it was very good. Oh, the creation speaks of the goodness of God and the power of God. His laws are good. You know, if everybody kept His law perfectly, this place would be a paradise. If everybody loved God with all their heart and all their soul and all their might, and they loved their neighbors themselves, well, there would be no sin. This would be a paradise. His providence is good. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Oh, how good is His salvation. When Moses said, I beseech you, show me Thy glory. The context was the children of Israel had committed a great sin. They had made a golden calf and said, these be Thy gods who brought you out of Egypt. And they forgot God. They forgot Moses. They had committed a great sin. And Moses is praying for these people at this time. And during the course of this prayer, in Exodus chapter 33, verse 18, he says, I beseech thee, show me Thy glory. And here's the Lord's answer. I'll make all My goodness to pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. Now, what is God's goodness? It's His capacity to save someone as sinful as the children of Israel who turned their back on God and bowed down before a golden calf. It's His goodness is seen in His capacity to save someone as sinful and helpless and undeserving as me. God is good. He delights in mercy. He can save whom He will. But thank God, He does save. That is His goodness. His salvation is a good salvation. God gave His Son because He's good. That was His purpose in giving His Son, because He's good and He's going to manifest His goodness in saving a great multitude of sinners for Christ's sake. Now, all who love Him believe that all He is and that all He does is good. We might not understand everything He's doing, but we know He does. And we know anything He does is good because He does it. Now, I realize the natural man finds fault with God. They object to God's way of saving. They don't like the fact that He elected a people and Christ died for the elect and God the Holy Spirit calls them invincibly and irresistibly. The natural man doesn't like that, but God's people do. They worship Him for who He is. They worship Him for His goodness, for how He saves by Christ, and they adore Him. It's called worship. Now, God is good. The gospel is good. What is good? I want to have some true wisdom concerning what's good. Like I said, the natural man doesn't know what is good. This can only come by revelation. This can only come by the grace of God. What is good? God is good. The gospel is good. The gospel means the good news. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, that bring glad tidings of good things. Now the gospel, what God does for the sinner in Christ. The gospel, now understand this. The gospel is not what you do for God. It's what He does for you. It's the declaration of the good news of Christ Jesus. Now there is only one thing that will prevent a man from seeing the gospel as good. You know what that one thing is? Somebody says, well, it's his sinfulness. No, it's his righteousness. It's his self-righteousness. If you are self-righteous, if I am self-righteous, we will not hear the gospel as good news because we're trusting in our own righteousness. And the gospel takes away the hope of a man being saved by his own righteousness. But a sinner. Now, a sinner is someone who cannot do anything to save themselves. A sinner is someone who is evil. A sinner is someone who deserves to be damned. A sinner is someone who cannot perform a good work. A sinner is somebody who all they do is sin. A sinner is someone who has no claims on God because of his sinfulness. If God passed him by, he'd be absolutely just. A sinner is someone who can't look down their nose in moral superiority at anyone. They believe themselves to be the chief of sinners. Now, a sinner will hear every part of the gospel as good news. It is good news that Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And before there was ever a sinner, there's a Savior. It's good news that God elected a people, not based upon some foreseen merit He saw in them, but simply because He would, because He's gracious, because He's good. It's good news that Christ came here and worked out a perfect righteousness that He gives to everybody He died for. It's good news that His death redeemed. It wasn't making redemption possible. He redeemed. He put away the sin of everybody that He died for. It's good news that this is the great work of justification. How God makes it to where I've never sinned. How can that be? Well, God can do that. God made it to where I've never sinned. Well, how did He do that? My sin was given to Christ. He put it away. His righteousness is given to me so that every believer is literally the righteousness of God in Him. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now, all the truths of the gospel is made of many truths which make one truth. And if you leave out one of those truths, you no longer have the truth. But all of the truths of the gospel, everybody who sees themselves as a sinner, they find the gospel to be good news. God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Not when I see your faith, your repentance, your tears, your intentions. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. You know what that is? That is good news. The news of what God has done for the sinner in Christ Jesus. Now, not only is His work for us good, His work in us is good. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul said, knowing this, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it into the day of Jesus Christ. Now, what this is a reference to is the work of the new birth, the work of regeneration. Now, everybody that God elected, everybody that Christ died for, God the Holy Spirit gives them a new heart. This is God's work in regeneration. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And these people are given a holy nature. A nature that cannot sin. A new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. That which is born of God is good, isn't it? This is the good work begun in every believer. Now, we still have the old nature, and it's foolish to deny that. We still have the old nature. But thank God we have the new nature. And He that hath begun this good work in you. Seen in the good ground here. How did that good ground here become a good ground here? God made him that way. And we read of him receiving the word in an honest and a good heart. This is the heart given in the new birth. And the only honesty there is, really, is seeing I'm nothing but sinful. If I claim anything else, I'm not being honest. Now, that's the good heart given in the new birth. It's the new man that owns the sinfulness of the old man. You know, someone without a new nature can't even see sin. They look at it strictly as behavioral, and they don't see the filthiness of their heart. It takes a new man to see that. And, oh, this work is good. It's going to be carried on throughout eternity. What is good? All the things God gives. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask Him? Oh, all the glorious good things He gives. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. All He gives in salvation, the forgiveness of sins, the good hope, faith, repentance, whatever He gives, it's all good. You know what else is good? Everything else in His providence. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, Paul said, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, health is good. We all want health. But did you know sickness is good too? Because if you're sick, the Lord sent it for your good and His glory if you belong to Him. Now, I realize the natural man will just be fearful and complain and say, why me with regard to sickness? Why didn't it happen to somebody else? But the believer knows his heavenly Father sent that sickness. Bad times, adversity, prosperity, doesn't matter what you're talking about, everything for a believer is good. I like what one man said, ever since I heard the good news, I've never heard bad news. Everything in God's providence is good. Now, I'd like to read a scripture from Micah chapter 6, where Micah says in verse 8, He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Now, that's what's good. To do justly. Somebody says, well, I always try to do the right thing. No, you don't. That's not true. What does the Scripture say? Not to try to do the right thing, but to do justly, where all my actions are just. And that can only be understood in light of justification. If I'm justified, all my actions before God are just, because it's the works of the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteousness of Christ being mine. In Christ, I've never sinned. What is good? To love mercy. To love being saved by mercy, and to love being merciful. I love being saved by mercy and not by my works, but by God's mercy. And I love to be a merciful man, having experienced God's mercy. And to walk humbly with thy God. What is humility? A just estimate of yourself. By the grace of God, I am what I am. You don't give your flesh any credit. That is what is good. And I'm just going to spend a moment on knowing the difference, that you may be wise concerning good and simple concerning evil. Now, the word is literally unmixed. Now, I realize that when I would do good, evil is present with me. I can't ever get away from that. But I want to be unmixed in this. Christ is all. Even on 99%, He's all. He's all that God is. He's all to God. He's all in the book. He's all in the Bible. He's all in my salvation. He's all. And Paul warned of those who are corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. He only is my salvation. He only is my righteousness. I don't want to mix anything with Him. He is all. He's all that I have. I don't have Him and anything else. He's all that I have. He's all that I want. And He's all that I need. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead in a body, and you are complete in Him. And I want to have no other motive but His glory. Any other motive is a wrong motive. Now, Paul said, I would have you wise concerning that which is good and simple. The word two times is translated harmless. Harmless. Harmless concerning evil. Now, if I'm not, I'm harmful to myself and I'm harmful to others. May God enable me and you to be wise concerning that which is good and simple concerning that which is evil. Now, we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Niver praying that God will be pleased to make Himself known to you. That's our prayer.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.